Well, let's magnify the word of the Lord in our hearts today. The Lord himself has magnified his word. So let's do the same. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Glory to God. Let it be settled in our hearts even this day in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for your children as we gather together for fellowship around the word of God. The word of God is our very life. Hallelujah. The words that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak, O Lord, to us today. We are hearing. We are listening. As we prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord, help us, O Lord, to receive it as it is indeed the word of the Lord and not the word of man. To God be the glory. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to continue on this lesson of engaging the word of God in the spirit. And this is part 3. Today we are in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. And as we read the word of God, I pray that we will receive it as the word of God and not the word of man. Praise the Lord. So we'll be reading from Psalm 119. Yesterday we read through some part of it. I'm going to pick it up today from verse 17. But before we do, I want to just cover a few things in the earlier sections. This psalm is divided into sections. Right away in the first section, we see that it talks about those who walk in the law of the Lord and those who keep his testimonies and seek the Lord with all their heart. Now, the word of the Lord will keep you from doing iniquity. It will help you to walk in his ways, even as the Lord has commanded us. And then we saw that he made a prayer to the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then I shall not be ashamed." And so when we see him talking about these statutes of the Lord, his precepts, his testimonies, and the law of the Lord, it's all about God's word. He said, "If I keep your statutes, I know I will not be ashamed. And when I have respect to all of your commandments," and we talked about, you know, taking the word of God in its entirety, without partiality, without preferring one section over another. We read the charge that Paul gave to Timothy and said, well, you know, take the word of God as it is in its entirety. Do nothing by partiality. Don't prefer one thing over the other. Every word of God is pure. And whatever he has said, we must align our hearts to that and incline our ways to the word of the Lord. There are benefits. The benefit of keeping the word of the Lord says here that you will not be ashamed when you have respect to all of his commandments, not just part of it. "And I will praise thee with uprightness of heart," he said, "when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, so forsake me not early." I mean, utterly. That's a good prayer. The questions he asked about, you know, cleansing our ways. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Young man, young woman, old man, any woman. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee," he said. "Oh, let me not wander away from thy commandments." And here's a powerful one. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Praise the Lord. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. And with my life have I declared, my lips have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I mean, for this man, the things of God excited him, I mean, greatly. It's as if he got a lot of wealth. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to start today's reading from verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, or out of thy word. And that's a good one. Lord, open my eyes to see what I haven't seen before. Now, instruct my heart to know things that I haven't known before. Cause my ears to hear instruction. Hallelujah. That my heart may understand the ways of the Lord. These are powerful prayers that we should pray. Said, I'm a stranger in the earth. That's right. You know, we are citizens of heaven, even though we live upon the earth. We have a purpose to fulfill upon the earth. Jesus himself declared, he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Glory to God. We know that God declared with it, you know, by himself that we were chosen in him before the world began. So you might say, we were made in heaven and assembled upon the earth to do his will, glory to God, and to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. My soul, he said, hide not thy commandments from me. You know, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, Lord. You know, the Lord is the one that can make us to see. The Bible says that these things God has hidden. Jesus said himself, from the wise and the prudent, but has made them known to babes, for so, you know, so it seemeth good in the eyes of the Lord to do so. And may we be among the ones counted to receive understanding of the word of the Lord. Praise God. My soul breaketh for the longing that he hath unto thy judgments at all times. I mean, just see the passion that this guy had for the things of God. You know, my soul breaketh for the longing that he hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me, Lord, reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Isn't that beautiful? The things of God, the word of God, I mean, this whole Bible, it's a testimony about the things of God. You know, this is what God's testimonies are all about. It's not only, you know, when we just stand up to speak about what things God has done for us. No. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, this book of prophecy, the Bible, you know, its mission, the spirit, the driving force, the motivation behind it, the quickening force behind it is the testimony of Jesus. And so when we read the word of God, you know, which Jesus himself said, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, shall testify of me. You know, so, you know, when we hear the word of God, it is to testify about Jesus, the word of God. So testify about Jesus. Those of us that speak and preach and teach the word of God, we preach not ourselves. We must never do that. Teach the word of God. Preach the testimony of Jesus. Even the Holy Spirit, you know, testifies about Jesus. That's what he does. You know, so we also must do the same in all things that we do concerning the word of God, either preaching it, listening to it, sharing it, must be about Christ. That's what's called the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. Everywhere we go, testify. When you share the word of God, testify about Christ. And those things are the testimony of Jesus. All the things. When the Spirit of truth comes, he shall glorify me, he said. Shall testify of me. Shall take of mine. And he will show it to you. Glory to God. So we thank God for the Spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. I pray, Lord, make me a witness. You know, a witness gives testimony. Make me a witness, you know, for the word of God all the time. Let that word never depart from your mouth. You'll be quick to speak that word. Isaiah prayed and said, Lord, you know, let my tongue be as a pen of a ready writer. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. You know, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Hallelujah. He wakeneth my heart. This is why we pray. You know, when you're about to hear the word of God, you must pray and prepare your heart. And say, Lord, you know, help me, you know, to engage the word of the Lord in the spirit. And if we engage in the spirit, then happy are we. If we engage in the flesh, then it will profit nothing. You know, John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said that. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, that flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are flesh. So it's the word of God that's going to quicken us. And we must engage in the spirit in order to get the benefit that the word of God carries. Praise the Lord. So let us pray as we go along. As you hear this word of the Lord today, there are various things that we will hear. And we must pray. I will declare this prayer for us today out of Isaiah 50 and verse 4. He, Isaiah, wrote it as a testimony and a declaration, but I will say it as a prayer. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, he said, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth my morning by morning, my ear to hear as the learned. Well, our prayer is this. The Lord give us the tongue of the learned. You know, that we may know how to speak a word that in season to anybody that's weary. And may we be called the son of encouragement. You know, that wherever men are cast down, you have a word that will bring a lifting up. Praise the Lord. But we ourselves must hear the word of the Lord. We hear it just like Ezra prepared his heart. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Before he began to teach it, first he had to seek it. And then he had to do it. So that's the same thing for us. Praise God. We must continually seek the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Seek the word of the Lord, not only to teach it, but first to know it and to do it. But not only to know it and to do it, but also to teach it. So it works both ways. We must continually give ourselves to the word of God. Glory to God. And in doing so, and in opening our heart, we make ourselves available to hear the word of God all the time. Praise the Lord. My heart, the psalmist said, is indicting a good matter. Praise the Lord. Psalm 45 and verse 1. My heart is always indicting a good matter. I'm thinking. Thinking about good things. Thinking when my Lord shall come. Thinking about the things of the kingdom. If there's anything of virtue, of praise, anything that's honest, anything that's true, according to Philippians 4 and 8, I'm thinking on these things, directing our thoughts into the things of God. I speak of things concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Praise the Lord. Instructed in things of righteousness, ready. Always Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech, hallelujah, be with grace, seasoned with salt, always ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's inside of you, always ready to give a good word out for the things of the Lord, and, communicate the things of God always. But we do it with firmness, we do it with conviction, we do it with the passion, but we do it with purpose also. Praise the Lord. And the psalmist, the things that he tells us about the word of God in this long psalm, they show us the posture of his mind concerning the things of God. He was always wanting, to know more about the Lord. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Let's continue reading. He said, that thou hast rebuked the proud, that are cursed which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight, are my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according to thy word. I have declared my ways. Thou hast heard me. Teach me thy statutes, O Lord. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. First, the Lord must give you understanding about his way. The Lord showed Moses his ways, but the children of Israel, they only saw his acts. Well, we must go beyond just looking for things from God and the things that God may do for us. We must elevate to knowing God himself. Even as God said to Abraham, I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, but I need a son, and I need this, and I need that. And we've often spoken about this, that rather than looking for what God can give us. We need to, our hearts need to seek God Himself. When you have God Himself, you have everything. Praise the Lord. You know, teach me thy statutes, He said. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove far from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. And did not the Lord say, you know, that my people shall never be put to shame? I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt have enlarged my heart. The Lord promised us that His people will not be put to shame. His people will not be ashamed. Said it several times, back to back, in the book of Joel, you know, chapter 2, as the Lord begins to speak in verses 26 and 27. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. He said it like that, twice in a row, back to back in those two verses. My people shall never be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Isaiah, he learned this, and he made a declaration of faith. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verse 7, he says, "What? Well, I know that the Lord God will help me." That's right. "Therefore will I not be confounded." I will not be confused. You know, and "therefore have I set my face as a flint. For I know that I shall not be ashamed." Or do you know that? Do you know that you will not be ashamed? Has not the Lord said, "My people shall never be ashamed"? Well, the psalmist says, "I will not be ashamed, for when I shall have learned thy precepts and thy testimonies." And this is the thing that gives us confidence, you know, that we know the word of the Lord. Praise God. Now let me digress a little and tell us about this word of the Lord, what it should mean to us at the end of the age. The word of the Lord is what is preparing the bride of Christ elect. It's called the washing of water by the word. The preparations that the Lord is doing, trying to make His church glorious. Well, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we're told about it. It's all about using the word of God to bring that to pass. Husbands, he said, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Ephesians 5 and 25. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's the only way. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed, O Lord, according to thy word. That's it. There's no other way that we can be cleansed except by the word of God. And this washing of water by the word that's constantly flowing, it's, you know, the purpose of the Holy Spirit doing that is to present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And how is that going to happen? Well, through the word of God, through the hearing of faith, through the preaching of the word of God, through understanding the statutes and testimonies of God, and his ways. That's how we cleanse ourselves. The word of God is what begins to shape us into a more accurate reflection of Christ. As we're looking, we talked about that yesterday in that mirror, according to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, the more, you know, of the word that we have in us, you know, the more like Christ we are going to look, because Christ himself was the word that became flesh. And so, you know, and the word became flesh. Well, for us, it's the same thing. You look at that process. Take that word in. The more of the word that you take in, you know, let our flesh also turn around to become his word. I call it reverse engineering. The word became flesh and we ourselves turn around. We get away from the flesh to become like the word of God. Because the flesh profits nothing. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know, and even Paul wrote the same things. So as we are making preparations in our heart for the return of the Lord at the end of the age, the purpose is to turn the elective seed to the word bride. That's it. So that we are completely identified the word. We speak only his word. We take only his word. You know, Jesus said, my sheep, they follow me. And they will not follow a stranger. Because they don't know the voice of strangers. But they know my voice. We take his word. And we will not take the word of the devil. Not as Eve did, who took the word of the serpent. You know, that old devil took that word over the word of the Lord. Well, the last Eve for the last Adam will stick to the word of God. We're not going to take any polluted version of the word of God. We're going to stick to what God said. And we will not be deceived like Eve was deceived. For Eve, being deceived, was in the transgression, the Bible said. At the end of the age, we will not be deceived. We have the Spirit of God to guide us and the Word of God to prepare our hearts. And the word, we must hear His Word daily. We have a benefit of sharing the Word of God on this platform, but even on your own, you must hear that Word. Huh? They need a Word from you, Lord. We need to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, what can we do? Because your word is spirit and life. One time when Jesus began to say some things which people considered hard, like, look, you know, the bread that your fathers ate in the wilderness, that was not the real manna. You know, the real bread is he that came down from heaven. And except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And people said, well, what is this man talking about? Are we now cannibals? Do we now eat his flesh and blood? What is he talking about? And they were offended and they laughed. Many of them did. And Jesus looked at his disciples, the closest ones. He said, well, will you also leave? Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's it right there. There's no other place where you can get that. You know, praise God. The word of God, even when people don't know the Lord very much, when you're coming in at the beginning, we must desire the sincere milk of the word, we're told, that you may grow thereby. That word is what make us grow. Is the word that can make us to flourish. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so this word of God is profitable for so many things, even for spiritual growth. As Paul wrote to Timothy and said in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, this word of God is profitable, you know, for many things. It's given by inspiration of God, first of all, and it's profitable for many things, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, you know, and for spiritual growth, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, it's profitable for spiritual growth as well. Desire it, that you may grow thereby. But desire the sincere milk, not, you know, something that is laden with leaven. No. Get the pure word. You know, what is leaven? Well, spiritually speaking, it is a substance that is designed to tarnish the word of God. Mix it up a little bit in there until all is mixed up. Jesus told that parable. The kingdom of God is like leaven. That's right. You know, which a woman took and mixed up in some measures of meal and mixed it all up in there until it was all, everything was all mixed up. And leaven is never a good thing in the scriptures. You know, Jesus, you know, used it to describe the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Paul used it to describe the old nature. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He said that's in 1 Corinthians 5 verses 6 and 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. I say this because there are some false teachings that say that the parable of the leaven is how the kingdom of God infiltrates the heart of men, and before you know it, you know, people are converted. That's nonsense. That scripture is not talking about anything good. Leaven was never good. Jesus called it hypocrisy. You know, one time he told disciples, you know, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They thought he was talking about because they forgot to take bread on that particular trip. And Jesus said, well, I'm not talking about bread. If you haven't taken bread, have you forgotten that which I did when I broke the bread among the 7,000 or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up after that? I'm not talking about bread. If you don't have bread, I can make you have many loaves. That's not what I'm talking about. Then they understood. And he told them, the Pharisee, you know, so leaven, you know, is never a good thing. It's always a bad thing. Every time you see it represented in the scriptures, it's a bad thing. And so, you know, the leaven taints the pureness of the word of God. You know, it just causes, it tarnishes it, basically, you could put it that way. If the word of God starts out being pure, then the next thing you know, there is mixture in there. Jesus condemned the practice of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. He talked about, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And you read 4 or 5 more verses afterwards, he would explain it as their hypocrisy. And, you know, so it's never, leaven is never a good thing. And the reason I'm talking about leaven today is because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's all you need. It's a little poison, and the whole food becomes poisonous. The whole food itself does not have to be poison. It's just a little poison inside that food. And then the next thing you know, the whole thing is poison. So a little leaven, you know, leavens the whole lump. That's it. Paul talked about it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. You know, as small, it doesn't matter. When you say the word of God, and you say, well, you know, that part doesn't really matter. It's not like that. Well, it's a little leaven. You know, instead of taking the completeness of the word of God, you start out with the word of God, but then you pick and choose. The moment you pick and choose, you have introduced leaven. And then anytime that is leaven and something, the word of God is no longer wholesome. Some mixed up, maybe some truth, but a little lie. It's all mixed up in there. And that's it. And even half truths, that are not pure doctrine of Christ. And so mixed up, it's very dangerous. There are many half-truth teachings in the Word of God, of the Word of God in the church, even main church stream, main Christianity stream these days, teach the Word of God with leaven in it. And a little leaven, all mixed up. When you hear the Word of God, make sure it's not leavened. Paul said, purge out therefore the old leaven. Get it out of there. Make sure the word of God is given to you pure. The word of God itself is pure. Every word of God is pure. But you can get a little mixture in there, then it brings death, instead of life. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and life. But when you get leaven mixed up in it, it becomes death and darkness. A little mixture from the serpent, you will not die. That's not what God meant. God knew that, if you eat this, you become wise. And so he was trying to keep that from you. They did not become wise. In fact, they became fools. And they became dead. They died and lost the glory of God. And that's what happens when you take a mixed up version of the word of God. You gotta be careful these days. Jesus said, take heed how you hear, and also take heed what you hear. Ladies and gentlemen, I say unto you today by the word of the Lord, take heed what you're listening to. Make sure, check those things. Listen with open heart, quite all right. Paul commended the Thessalonians after a while for taking the word of God as it is, the word of God and not the word of man. Luke also wrote in Acts chapter 17 about the Bereans who took the word of God. They heard it gladly. They checked it out. So it is important that we check it out. Whatever you hear the word of God, whatever you hear that is claimed to be teaching, preaching the word of God, check it out. To the law and the testimony, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 says, check it out. Go back to the law. Go back to the testimony. If it is not according to this word, well, it's because there's no light in that thing. So get away from it. Praise the Lord. Now, when you hear the word of God, you check it out and you receive it with gladness, you will get even more. God will give you more revelation if you're open to receiving the true word of God. Listen to this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. You know, this is one of the those places that captured the warnings of Jesus about, you know, how you hear and what you hear. You know, say, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. You know, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You know, that's so profound. We're talking about the word of God. When you understand it and you take it as it is the word of God and you cherish it, you rejoice at hearing it, well, God will give you more. If you don't, if you get it mixed up in there, then even that which you thought you had shall be taken from you because you did not get real understanding. Jesus said the wayside ears of the world did not get real understanding, and the seed that fell there, well, the birds of the air came and picked it up. You know, so take heed how you hear. Also, take heed what you hear. What are you listening to these days? I mean, what exactly are you listening to? Are you listening? Whatever you're listening to, is it the word of God? Is it the pure word of God, or is it mixed up? Well, how are you going to know if it's pure or if it's mixed up if you yourself don't know, you know, the word of God? So you've got to know the word of God. You got to study this word and know it for yourself. Jesus said, beware of, you know, blind leaders. And if you follow them blindly, well, both of you will fall into the ditch then. Well, the remedy for that is you may not be able to remedy your blind leaders, but you can remedy yourself. You yourself do not have to be blind. You don't follow anybody blindly. Open your eyes wide. Praise God. And Jesus always used to say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He always said that throughout the book of Revelation, the letters to the churches. You know, and he also said it in the book of Mark, chapter 4. I was talking to them, said in verse 23, any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, everybody has ears. Well, what are they hearing? That's the question. You know, so everybody has ears. You have ears. Well, what is it? Have you trained your ears, you know, to hear the word of God? Can you tell the difference? And that's the thing. You know, have you exercised your senses enough? According to, you know, Hebrews chapter 5, have you exercised those senses to maturity, to the point where you can discern good and evil? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You must be able to discern good and evil. And when you do, well, the admonition that speaks unto you as to sons, what does it say when you discern good and evil? He said, well, prove all things. That's the discernment part. You know, you prove all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. And, you know, check it out to the law and the testimony. Then hold fast to that which is good. And abstain from all appearance of evil. So when you hear the word of God, run it through the filter Well, okay, let me rephrase that. When you hear preaching, if it's the word of God, it's the word of God. So when you hear preaching or teaching, you know, check it out to see if it aligns with the word of God. You know, and if it does, then you hold fast to it because it will benefit you. If it doesn't, then get rid of it because it will taint your mind. It will corrupt your mind. It will corrupt the light. See, Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. Yeah? There are points of light initially, and that word will become even more light in you. Bring out more light. But if it's mixed up with leaven, the next thing you know, that leaven begins to, you know, tarnish that light. And it'll be turned into, instead of more light, it'll be turned into darkness. And that's how dangerous it is when the word of God is not preached accurately or taught accurately. That's the word of God. And it's very dangerous when we don't have the right teaching. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 talks about, you know, the consequences of not getting the right teaching. Because the right teaching is what brings you knowledge. And he said, well, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But God has promised us in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, look, how do you get this pure knowledge that God wants you to have? You know, well, the Lord promised, he said, I will give you shepherds. That's right. You know, that are pastors that are according to my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So that is so key. You know, pastors must be teachers of the word. Teachers of the word are not necessarily pastors, but pastors must be teachers. When you, you know, hear your pastor teach, though, the word of God, check it out. Make sure that it is bringing knowledge and understanding. God is sending pastors. He said, according to my own heart, I will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You know, not pastors that are out there to preach themselves. You know, Paul warned about stuff like that. He gave his own testimony. Well, he said, we preach not our own selves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. What does it mean, preaching your own self? Well, Jesus himself did not preach himself. You know, we're told that he always said the Son can do nothing, cannot even speak his own word. He always preached, you know, what the Father showed him. That's all he can preach. Can't preach anything else. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5, Paul makes this declaration, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Well, I pray that many preachers of the word of God, so-called, can make that same declaration. They're not preaching themselves, but they're preaching Christ. Paul himself said, look, when I came among you and I made up my mind to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, so that the, you know, it's not, you know, that's all I want you to know. I myself said I'm crucified with Christ, but still I live. And that's what I want you to do. Let your old man be crucified and let your new man be renewed in righteousness and true holiness. After Christ. And he spoke about these things. Now, the word of God is a light. I mean, a lamp to our feet. We'll get to that in this Psalm 119 by the time you get to verse 105. You know, it's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. That if you're standing in the right word of God, you will not be in darkness. Even Jesus, he made this statement when he talked about he himself being the light of the world. He said, well, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. You know, you will not be confused when you have the true word of God. And so preachers of this word must endeavor to preach the true word of God. It's not of private interpretation. Given by inspiration and of the Holy Spirit, and can only be understood also by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot teach it to you, but my Father will teach it to you. And he said, it's my Father who has taught it to you. Concerning Peter's declaration that Jesus was the Christ. Yeah, so he said that. Listen to this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. I think we read that yesterday. Knowing this first, that, you know, no prophecy or no word of this scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, for it was given in old time, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. And so neither can it be understood in the flesh. It was given in the spirit, must also be engaged in the spirit in order to understand it. Praise the Lord. Now, the word bride being so cleansed by the washing of water by the word will continually look more and more like Christ until Christ be fully formed in us. Galatians 4 and 19. You know, we're looking more and more like Christ through the perfect law of liberty, the word of God. We're looking as we are hearing the word. It's cleansing us. You know, the word of God can be given for rebuke, for correction, for exhortation, for instruction in righteousness. And the more we hear it and the more we take heed to it, well, the closer we look like Christ, the more we look like Christ. And God used that word also. It's a hammer. It can also be a sharp two-edged sword. It can also be like pruning, you know, shears that can prune. He said, everybody that's bearing fruit. In John 15, Jesus said, my Father will prune it even more. Well, how does he do it? The word of God. If you abide in me and my word abide in you. Well, that's how you do it. John 15 and 7. It has benefits too. Causes you to be in a position of favor with God. When you have that word in you, you can ask anything. Jesus said it, John 15 and 7. You abide in me, my word abide in you. You can ask anything you want. You can even beseech God on behalf of others. It's not just you. You know, you can ask for somebody else. Hallelujah. It's called intercessions. You can, you know, beseech God on behalf of somebody else. And God will hear you because the word of God is in you. To the degree of the word of God that is in you is the level of the expression of Christ that we can have. I say that again. The degree of the word of God that is in you is the, you know, the level of the expression of Christ that we can have. You know, so there's no way that we can express the fullness of the attributes of Christ without the riches of his word being inside of us. And that's how it works. And that's why we're, you know, taking a deep dive into what it means to engage the Word of God in the Spirit. It's more than just reading it casually. Casual readers, or casual hearers of the Word of God, they may be no more than the wayside hearers of the Word. They just hear the Word by the way. It's kind of like, you know, when people, it's an expression, I say, by the way. That means, well, that's not the real focus, you know, of what you are. Let's say you're having a conversation and you say, oh, by the way, you know, so it's like a distraction. I mean, you sidetracked a little bit. Yeah. It's like, that's not the real thing, but you know, let's just throw these things in on the side. The Word of God is not by the way. If it is by the way, then you are a by way hearers of the Word, wayside hearers. So let it not be by the way. It is the way. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. You can't do it. You can't come to God except by Him. There's no other way around it. To anyone that's hearing this lesson today, either here, now, or later, or anyhow, you may hear it. There you have it. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. And He is the very life. You can't do it. And no man, Jesus said, can come unto the Father but by me. You may come to some other religious thing without Christ, but that would not be the Father of lights. It would not be the only true God. The only way to come to the only true God will be through Christ. And this is not a religious thing. It's not a matter of religion. Some people think, well, that's just your religion. This is my religion over here. Well, that's fine for you. But God has not come, neither did Jesus come to establish a religion. So we're not talking about religion here. We're talking about the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. Praise the Lord. So, the psalmist gave us many insights and deep things. And we can teach and preach out of this Psalm 119 for days and weeks. Because it is loaded with concepts about the Word of God. Meditate on it. Praise the Lord. Psalmist prayed, the Lord should strengthen him according to thy word. Now, that's a prayer that we should pray. He said, remove me, Lord, from me the way of lying. That's a prayer. Grant me thy law graciously. That's a prayer. I have chosen the way of truth, he said. Judgments have I laid before me. Stuck to thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments, and thou shalt have enlarged my heart. You know, these are things that the psalmist said. Now, let me read, talk through some part of the next section. Psalm 119. Now I am in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. That's a prayer. And I shall keep it to the end. That's a commitment. There's a prayer and a commitment, both of them in this verse. David said, Lord, teach me the way of thy statutes. Well, teach me and I will learn. Save me and I'll be saved. Heal me and I shall be healed. Well, instruct me and I will know the way of thy statutes. And I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding. See, that comes that understanding again. You can't do anything without it. With all that getting, get understanding. Give me understanding, Lord, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Well, let's do self-introspection. Can you say that you delight in the path of his commandments. If God commanded something in the scriptures, like forgive, and he shall be forgiven you. I always come back to that point because that's something that a lot of people struggle with. Well, if Jesus commanded it, can you do it? Can you truly forgive, man? It just said you must truly forgive your brother, everyone, their trespasses from your heart. If the Lord commands it, can you do it? Has he taught you the way of his commandments? If you didn't know before and you know, what will you do when you know? You know, once the word of God is made known and you see that that's the thing that God has said, what's your reaction? Do you engage that word in the spirit? That means it makes an impact on you, causes you to change your ways, and you cleave onto it, or it ignites something in you, or is it just, oh, by the way? By the way, you know, that's what, that road actually leads to destruction. The by the way, treating the word of God like a by the way. It's not by the way. It's a real life, and it's the way. And it's the truth. And you can't do it any other way. He said, make me to know the path of thy commandments, to go in them. For therein I do delight. Incline my heart, O Lord, unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Now, these are all good prayer points. And you should be praying these along as we are reading it. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, Lord, and quicken me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, I pray, Lord, which I fear. For thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. I mean, this man, his heart was always after the things of God. Can we say that about ourselves? I mean, yeah, like that? Yeah. Let's continue the reading of the word of God. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. It's always going back to that word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Your word is the answer to any reproach. I mean, the word of the Lord is the answer to any reproach. You know, the word of the Lord. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgments, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Praise the Lord. And I will walk at liberty. Glory to God. For where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. The words that I speak, they are spirit and life. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also even before kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I mean, how many times is he going to say that? He loves the word of God. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Praise the Lord. The precepts of the word of God, everything he lays out, one definition of precepts from the dictionary says it's a rule, it's a principle, it's a directive that is given, you know, to guide behavior or action. So when you hear about precepts, it has to do with behavior, the moral principles that are laid out in the scriptures, even in the things of God, many precepts in the word of God that guide us in behavior, what we should do. The book of Proverbs, full of precepts that tell you what to do and what not to do. Some of the things we call wisdom or wisdom nuggets in the Book of Proverbs, there are precepts, you know, how to not be slothful, you know, how to not fold your arms and different things like that. A little slumber, a little folding of the arms. So shall thy poverty come as an unborn, you know, and so on. You know, it's a precept. Give us instruction of behavior and inspire the right living in us. You know, so those are precepts. And he talks about, you know, statutes. What are statutes? Well, a statute, even in our days, it's a written law that's enacted by a legislative body. That's what we're told. You know, so in the scriptures, statutes are also all the things that God has written as commandments for us. Today, in your cities and states and whatever, there are many statutes. You know, they might even be called some act of this and act of that. Civil Rights Act, Clean Air Act, this and that. They are all statutes. And they give the framework in society today. Statutes give the legal framework for society. And there are also concepts, you know, that they teach us and what we need to know about how to function properly. It's a society. And it's a statutes. They are in the Word of God too. There are statutes in the Word of God. You know, there are some commands that may prohibit or declare something, you know, and, you know, give us instructions into righteousness. It's also statutes. What about testimony? You know, what is a testimony? Well, there are many ways that you can consider a testimony. You know, testimony, according to the dictionary, can be a formal, written, or spoken statement. You can even give a testimony, generally in a court of law, under oath. You know, give testimony. And it says, well, it's evidence, it's a public declaration or proof of a fact. So when you are in a court of law, in a litigation case or whatever, you know, maybe I might be asked, is it your testimony that such and such? And then, yeah, called to give testimony. There are even some people called expert witnesses in their field. They're called in to give testimony to something that is being debated, you know, if you're debating a psychological behavior, they'll bring in a psychologist, or some kind of, expert in that area that, you know, debating the cause of death or whatever, they bring in a medical examiner or something, expert witness. And if somebody who's not qualified is trying to give an opinion on, you know, or on facts that an expert should be declaring, the opposition might object and say, the witness is testifying. They're not an expert. They can't, you know, and then they will have to throw that out. You know, so, but we who have known the way of the Lord, you can testify of the goodness of the Lord, of what you have known. Nobody can take your testimony away from you. It's what you know. It's what you've experienced. Say that which we have handled, that we have tasted, that which we have experienced of the word of life. Those things declare we unto you. Well, you know, same thing on this platform. By the grace of God, the things that we declare are the things that we have experienced, that we have known, that we have handled and tested of the word of God and of fables. Praise the Lord. You know, so these are statutes, precepts, testimonies, the law. And when we talk about law, people think that the law is just those things that God wrote on table of stone to Moses. I said, the law. Well, no. It's the word of God. It's generally the law. In fact, all of the writings of the Old Testament, including the Psalms. They were called collectively the law. Some of the prophets, some of the things that the Psalms wrote. Jesus even referred in John chapter 10, when he called himself, he said, look, I and my Father are one, and they wanted to stone him. And he said, well, what are you trying to stone me for? Because I said that I and my Father are one. Said, well, I mean, many good works I've shown you. Why are you trying to stone me? Said, well, we're not trying to stone you for any of the good works, but for you being a man, trying to make yourself God by saying you are my Father are one. That's why we're going to stone you. And Jesus said, hold on now. he said, did not your law say that those to whom the word of God came are gods, little g? And he said it, if the scripture says it, and the scripture cannot be broken, and why are you saying that, it's a blasphemy for me, whom the Father has set apart, to say that I am a son of God, I'm the son of God. Now, the fact that Jesus was referring to the law, said, is it not written in your law? And that part was in the Psalms. It was in Psalm 82. And yet Jesus called it law. He said, is it not written in your law that ye are gods to whom the word of God came? And if you cross-reference it, you will see that he was talking about Psalm 82. It's where scripture called them gods to whom God spoke to. But Jesus called it the law. So he classified, the Psalms as part of the law. Many other writings, that are in the Old Testament were classified as the law, even though they were not the Ten Commandments, so to speak. Ten Commandments were only a specific portion of the law. It was not the whole law. Everything that's in that word is called the law. And all the law were given, were characterized by the Old Testament, basically, because, Jesus himself, was talking about it, in the book of Luke, chapter 16, he talked about, he said, the law and the prophets, Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were unto John. So that's basically what referring to all the writings of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And from the time of John, he said, well, kingdom of God has been preached. And it's now time for you to press into it. So you might say that John was the one man that had one foot in the law and the prophets and another foot in the kingdom. He was that connector, that bridge. Because from the law and the prophets, he passed on the baton to Christ. And you might say, that the law, the prophets, and grace, because the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, verse 17. You might say that the law and the prophets and grace met on Mount Transfiguration. In Matthew 17, we see that there was Moses representing the law. There was Elijah representing the prophets. And then there was Christ representing grace and truth. And when you put it all together, well, the voice came and selected grace and truth. This is my beloved son. It will do you well to hear him. So the law and the prophets were there as a cloud of witnesses to witness to the grace and truth that was represented in Christ. And, so they all walk together till today. But don't think of the law as only the Ten Commandments. It's everything that's in this world. It's called the law of God. The law of the Lord. Praise God. The psalmist wrote about it in so many different ways. You know, in Psalm 19, he talked about some of those things. But in this Psalm 119, talking quite a bit about the law of the Lord. Let's read Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, comforting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. So you see, that's the testimony of the Lord, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So all these things, whether you call it law, testimony, statutes, precepts, commandment, or whatever, you know, this Psalm 19 puts it all together. So every reference in Psalm 119 to law, precepts, statutes, testimonies, and commandments, it's all referring to the word of the Lord. I'm going to leave today's lesson there. That's the reading of the word of God for today. We're going to be reading through this Psalm 119. And we'll be talking through it. And some of those scriptures might trigger some additional digging deep into some things like we did today. And it's a Bible study. So when you go through like that, you can branch into other scriptures to get more insight. Today's lesson has been part three on the subject matter of engaging the word of the Lord in the spirit. And I will say one more thing to wrap it up, to bring it right, us right back to that concept of engaging the word of the Lord in the spirit. And we take it back again to where we started the series from, John 6 and 63. Jesus speaking about and bringing a parallel between the spirit and the flesh. Romans chapter 8 spoke quite a bit about the spirit and the flesh. Jesus would say it here too, that the flesh itself profits nothing. So when we're listening to the word of God in the flesh, or reading it in the flesh, it will not profit us anything. We got to engage it in the spirit. And here's a good scripture to meditate on as we close this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. It's not a popular verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 is actually more popular. Verse 17 talks about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But, you know, the reason he's saying it like that is because of what he said in verse 16. Because he started verse 17 with therefore. You know, you don't use therefore to start a sentence unless you're connecting it with something you said before. You know, so it's a conjunction here. What he said in verse 16, leading him to verse 17. But most of the time, we only read verse 17 out of context. And we don't even know what anything else says. Well, let me read to you verse 16. You know, verse 16 itself is also connected to previous verses that he's been talking about. Because when you see a verse that says with therefore or wherefore or this and that, then you got to read some more before it to get the full context. You know, a lot of things that he has been talking about here in chapter 5. And someday we're going to deal with this, you know, house from heaven. You know, the tanner that in the heavens that he's talking about. And, but let me just, for the sake of time, jump down to this new creature verse. But before we go to 17, let's read verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. He has been talking about Christ dying for all of us. He said, because Christ died for us, then we are dead unto him, that we should not live to ourselves anymore, but that we should live for him who died for us and rose again. That's the context of what he was talking about. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. Yea, even though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now know him no more after, henceforth we know him no more after the flesh. Isn't that powerful? No, we can't even, the knowledge of Christ in the flesh, we've got to throw that away, is what he's saying. When you thought you've known Christ in the flesh, well said, now from this point on, we don't know him like that anymore. We got to know him in the spirit. You got to engage him in the spirit. Now, so being there in the flesh is not enough. I mean, there were people there. Judas was there with him in the flesh for a few years. He did all those same things that everybody else in the group was doing. But he was not connected in the spirit. Spirit was not right. You know, and he was going to be a traitor. And Jesus chose him for that purpose. You know, so the word of God, when we hear it, it's not just being physically present. That's in the flesh. You got to be spiritually present. Today, if you have heard this word that we have shared, well, the test of whether you heard it in the spirit or heard it in the flesh will be afterward. Say like tomorrow or the next day. If you are asked what was taught in that lesson, if you remember and it has been, you know, your heart has engaged in those things and you have been practicing and not hearer only, then it means you did engage in the spirit. But if you did not even remember what was taught, or you heard it but you were not doing it, then you just heard it in the flesh. And then, you know, Bible say we should not be hearers or forgetful hearers of the word, but we should be doers of the same. And the doers are the ones that heard and engaged the word of God in the spirit. The hearers only are those that engage in the flesh. They're like, you know, wayside hearers of the word. It has no impact. It made no impact to them. Maybe an impact for the moment, but they did not get an understanding, so they lost it. The devil came and plucked it away. May the Lord grant us understanding when we hear the word of God. And may we not be wayside hearers of the word. May we not be people that hear the word of God in flesh only. May we truly commit our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you, and he will also bring to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things you hear day after day on this platform concerning the word of God. And may the Lord make our hearts receptive to the word of God. Good soil that will bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the word of God. It is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And our souls are being cleansed by the washing of water with the word. These things that we're hearing on a daily basis, thank you for its purifying, its cleansing to remove wrinkles, spots, and blemishes, to bring us to a more accurate reflection of the Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we will open our hearts to receive more of your word of God, the level thereof being the degree to which we can be an expression of Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.